Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Our listener Eamon has been in touch and he says, good morning, I work for a large multinational and under our ethics policy, we're not allowed to accept any approach from any vendor or external entity that we engage with that would go as far as any refreshments. If we need to meet for business purposes, we cover our own refreshment costs. This applies both as a private individual on our own time or on company business. The reported entertainment with policymakers is a complete conflict of interest, and if it is not against any rules, it should be. 51551 for your messages. Now, the percentage of households in the country who are renting has risen from 18% to 29% over the past two decades, and more than half of those renting are receiving some form of state support. This is according to new figures from the Economic and Social Research Institute. John Mark McCafferty is Chief Executive of the housing charity Threshold, and he joins me now, along with Michael O'Flynn, developer and CEO of the O'Flynn Group. Thank you both for joining us this morning. Michael, I'll start with you, because 54% of renters receiving state support through local authorities. What do you make of that figure?
Well, look, Claire, I'm not surprised, because we have no strategy for a number of decades now to supply public housing. We stopped supplying it, and then it was left to have rental supports. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any public housing, public housing for people who couldn't afford to rent or to buy. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that this has evolved. I suppose I am surprised that we haven't tackled this issue sooner, because it's just not acceptable that we don't have a strategy to deal with this situation. And this sticking plaster solution came about because people couldn't otherwise be housed. And this is why this figure has grown so much.
This is the state support sticking plaster solution that you refer to. But moving away from state supports, we've got 29% of all households who are renting, a third of all households practically. Why do you think we've seen such an increase in 20 years in your view?
Well, we haven't been supplying housing at affordable prices for a long, long time. We also have driven in recent years the private investor out of the market, which was a very important investor in regional and rural locations. So we have set about a situation where it was hoped, I always felt it was very ambitious, that the private sector, social and affordable housing within private estates, was going to solve all the public housing requirements. It never could, and it hasn't. And this is why you have the figures that are released today by the SRI confirming what has evolved over time. I think it was inevitable. Thankfully now, there are changes coming about, but we still haven't addressed the issue of housing and the cost of housing and the unfortunate situation people find themselves in, that they can't buy housing.
For a developer,
they can't rent it either because of the cost.
Well, for a large investor or for a developer like yourself, you've got a third of households who are renting. Half of those renters are getting state support. I mean, those statistics would seem to suggest that it's really attractive to build rental accommodation. You have the demand, you have the state support for so many people who are renting. All the bases are covered, surely?
No, it's not quite as simple as that. I think a lot of the people in those rental supports actually come from buying second-hand houses in the marketplace. And the local authorities and the government have become big purchasers of that. So I think we're not speaking about the same thing when you talk about that all of these are new houses being supported. They're not, because the private investor is out of that market. And we have obviously got new initiatives, but these initiatives are a long way from resolving the issues because of the scale of the problem, mm-hmm. the demand that's there, and the fact that we have no prospect of meeting that demand with the supply issues that we have at this moment in time.
When you say the private investors are out of that market, are you talking about the small landlord?
I'm talking about the small landlord. I'm talking about the 1, 2 or 3 unit landlord, which actually were a very important part of properties being available to people in various locations, especially outside of the metropolitan areas. And that the tax and the implications of the tax on rental and all of that, these investors are driven out of the market. And there's a big consequence when you bring in changes without understanding the dynamic of what those changes will will cause.
Yeah,
and
but these
figures do not surprise me. What surprises me is that we haven't had a strategy to deal with the requirements of people who cannot either rent or purchase, and that's a whole new discussion.
Okay, well but my point is that on the other side of this, if you're a developer who is building apartments, you've now got this Croí Cónaithe scheme in our major cities to subsidise developers building. You've got the demand, and you've got the state paying a good chunk of the rent in over half of your contracts.
But first of all, Croí Cónaithe is a subsidy for people to buy apartments over a certain level in cities. Quite frankly, Claire, I don't think it's going to work. The concept is good, but I don't see how private developers can fund on the basis of the Croí Cónaithe subsidy that's coming. And of course, people say, oh, it's a developer subsidy. It's not. It's a subsidy to the purchasers, but it'll be paid through the developer. I don't think that's going to help in any way as regards the rental discussion we're having. And in relation to that rental discussion, I mean, obviously, Project Tussig is very much a government initiative that's very much to be welcomed, but we still have an enormous problem with the costs involved in supplying housing, the soft costs of that, the land costs, the development contributions, because whether we like it or not, the hard costs in construction aren't going to change anytime soon because we have very strict regulations, which I agree with. So we have a predicament whether or not we are going to tackle the issues that are influencing costs. Up to this moment in time, we are not. We're not even accepting there is a major problem with viability and affordability. And if we were, we'd be dealing with land issues and zoning issues that people think, oh, no, never again. But the reality is, if we can't afford to build in brownfield locations, we are then asking people to pay more in greenfield locations. And that is an economic strategy that's going nowhere.
OK, so, sorry, you're saying we could be heading back into where we were in 2007?
Well, I'm saying, and I said many years ago we were heading into a housing crisis. I'm saying now we are not doing anything to resolve the serious crux that currently exists. We do not have enough land zoned available with infrastructure where it's needed. Land is too expensive. It's a big issue with the cost of housing. When I've been building houses first 40 years ago, land was maybe 10% of the cost. Now it could be up to 30%. We are, like, it's okay to have national planning strategies, and we now have this housing need demand assessment tool that's being applied, but it's being applied in a way that is not implementable in terms of the marketplace because we have a situation that we haven't enough product where people need to live. We can't force people to buy apartments that aren't viable because they won't be built anywhere. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, Claire, we have a situation where we could be building a lot more housing in viable locations, but guess what? That we haven't got zoning. Not alone that, we have de-zoning. So I'm saying at this moment in time, we have a serious crisis, despite Housing for All and despite the Croí Cónaithe, which I would have major reservations about, and we're not facing up to it. So this situation is going to get worse, not better, and we have to deal with policy initiatives that are going to help resolve supply, which will help rental, it'll help everything.
Okay. John Mark McCafferty, I want to bring in now, Chief Executive of the Housing Charity Threshold, who's been listening to all that, and I want to bring you back to where we started, which is that 54% of renters in this state are receiving state support. Now, Michael O'Flynn is not surprised by that figure. I'm sure you aren't surprised either.
No, I'm not. And, Threshold, we provide advice, representation and tenancy protection services to private renters across the country. And we are assisting people across the income spectrum, but, you know, with particular supports to people who find themselves in the housing assistance payment or rent supplement, there's less of that now. But, you know, we also find that within the housing assistance payment, which is, by the way, an improvement on rent supplement, people are still topping up there. So the affordability issues there have, I guess, intensified because of increased rents. I suppose we're also looking now at the spectre of very, very little in the way of supply and very little in the way of alternative options.
Okay, so I assume you'd agree then when you hear Michael O'Flynn saying that this situation is only going to get worse.
It's a really, really challenging situation just now because, you know, you have this growing portion of the population who are in the private rented sector. That's fine if, you know, all the conditions within that sector are good in terms of, you know, quality, affordability, energy efficiency, access to it, you know, quantity. The problem is, you know, there's a lack of supply across the tenures, but there are particular pinch points and real challenges and real crises at an individual level for households and for families in relation to their experience of the private rented sector. Some people who can't get into it, and so you get multiple generations living within a household that would normally have kind of moved out into the private rented sector, those who are in the sector and are worried about losing their home, and that's why we have the Tenancy okay. Protection Service to advise and represent private tenants.
So would you say, John Mark, that looking at these figures, that they strengthen the case for an eviction ban right now?
I mean, look, it's one thing to be considered. I think, you know, I agree with Michael on a lot of points there. And one of them is the need for a long-term strategic approach. And now that is being done through the auspices of the Housing Commission. And also we do have these policy frameworks. But within that, we have some really, really challenging situations in the short term, the medium term, and the longer term across the tenures, and particularly in the private rented sector. You know, so we have to kind of mind that, you know, the things that we do in one place might kind of affect things in another part of housing. But I will say this, that, you know, in the early part of the pandemic, when there was the moratorium on evictions, there was breathing space there for private renters, especially those private renters who had lost income. Now, as we see things opening up, we're also seeing things getting much more uncertain in another way in terms of costs. And of course, those who are probably most exposed to that, again, are lower, middle to lower income private renters who are seeing rents continue to increase, but also the cost of living and energy costs and all of that. And they're seeing that in the context of dwindling supply. So, yes, we need to think radically, but we also need to think through the interconnectedness of the housing system.
So do you want an eviction ban in place?
I think, you know, if that was to come in place, we'd have to look at kind of other elements that kind of joined up to that, because we have to also watch kind of the level of supply as well within the wider private rented market. We have a good number of smaller landlords who are selling up, and we need to find a balance there. Mm-hmm. There's been
Should they get a tax break to keep them in the market?
We've been advocating for better treatment for tax treatment for smaller landlords to retain them in the market. Clearly, there are favourable tax treatment for the larger institutional landlords. And, you know, the argument made there was around the provision of new supply. Well, the existing supply for the people who are, you know, for renters on middle and lower incomes, they are renting off small landlords. They're renting off those landlords with one or two properties. We are seeing those landlords selling or a family member moving in. We are seeing an increase in tenancy terminations, which is hugely traumatic for the families and the individuals involved.
But you're still not calling for an eviction ban because you think that that will have unforeseen consequences elsewhere.
I think it's something that can be considered among a raft of things. You know, I think what's also important, as you mentioned, is how we look at tax as it relates to the smaller landlord,
yes.
And how it, you know, we need to look at the entire private rented sector, yeah, in the round. But it's certainly clear, it's, you know, an eviction ban is something that needs to be kind of in the kind of armory,
in the mix,
as it was 2 years ago, and it was effective in providing that breathing space for a lot of private renters,
okay,
especially those who had lost their jobs.
And Michael O'Flynn, given that you said that we're in crisis and it's going to get worse, maybe that's needed now as an emergency stop measure, an eviction ban.
Look, I
don't favour eviction, so I'm not sure I'm going to come out and say we should ban eviction bans. I mean, some people take advantage of situations when you bring in rules or laws like that, or ministerial directives, or whatever I want to call them. I think people need to be dealt with properly. I think there's the RTB and other mechanisms for that, and I think eviction ban is very radical. My colleague on the call there mentioned Housing Commission. I'm actually on the Housing Commission, and that is looking at all aspects of issues there that will in time we will be reporting on, and a very in-depth analysis and a very wide disparate group of people. But can I just say in relation to that doesn't stop us doing things now that need to be changed. And that's the point I'd be making. Okay. Let's make changes where they're necessary to help the current crisis.
All right, we've got to leave it there. But thank you both for joining us, Michael O'Flynn and John Mark McCafferty. Coming up, we'll be hearing about the Fine Gael TDs who are hot under the collar over passport delays. That's after this.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.